Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. Well, nothing like going home. Of course, that depends on where home is for you. If home is upstate, well, home is not where you want to be right now because they've got at least 2 to 3 feet of snow up that way. Somebody asked me one time, it's like, hey, Pastor, do you like snow? Do you like to look at snow? I said, yes, I like to look at snow on Facebook. Anyway, but when you get home, what do you like to do? When it's got good weather, that is, what do you like to do when you go home to your hometown? Well, sometimes you start to drive around and you look to see if some of those old places that you used to go to, the restaurants, wherever you like to meet your friends and that kind of thing, maybe drive by the old school, see if it's still open or not. And you start thinking about your teachers, right? One of the spiritual gifts that mentioned there, well, see, are your teachers. And you start thinking about them. And you start thinking about your friends, you know, and you're always looking around because you're thinking, it's like, well, maybe I might see somebody I know. Hardly ever do, but you still look nonetheless. Jesus, well, he goes to his hometown, place where he was brought up, and that's Nazareth. Now, we know that he was born somewhere else in Bethlehem, but, you know, just like anywhere else, your hometown, generally speaking, well, that's that place where you went to grade school, and at least where you graduated high school, that's what you would consider to be your hometown. And so for Jesus, well, that place is Nazareth. And so what did he do on the Sabbath? Well, as was his custom. As was his custom, he went to the synagogue, went to go there to hear God's word and worship. But, well, he's God. He could have gone anywhere, I suppose, really. If you think about it, like some of the other folks who tell me, it's like, well, they like to go worship God on their boats on Sunday morning. Oh, another popular choice that I used to hear. There's one guy in particular I'm thinking of back in Arkansas where we lived. Never saw him on a decent Sunday morning. Why? Because he was out playing golf where he, quote, was worshiping. Really? Yeah. Many times, folks' favorite place to be in during that time is with their head on a pillow. But that didn't stop Jesus, right? Jesus, he wanted to go and hear God's word. Didn't matter if there were hypocrites there or not. That never bothered him. He would still go there. Because that's what he wanted to hear the most, was God's word. Now, he's in his hometown. Now, having heard that, well, Jesus here, this hometown boy, is now a preacher, a teacher, and a healer. Well, the hometown folks, well, they wanted to hear from him. So when he stood up there in their midst in the synagogue, they handed him the scriptures. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Well, Jesus rolled back up the scroll, handed it to the attendant, and the eyes of all were fixed on him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. They were all eager to hear what he had to say. And what does he say? He says, today the scriptures have been fulfilled in your hearing. Well, Jesus identifies himself here with the words of Isaiah the prophet there, saying that he's the fulfillment of this prophecy. Jesus is saying he is the one. It's me, folks, right here, flesh and blood, standing in front of you. Now, the one who had been graciously received there, people are saying, ah, isn't this the son of Joseph? Yeah, yeah, Jesus, he's a fine boy. I remember when he was this little here, you know, singing in the choir, that kind of thing. You know, oh, he was such a good boy. Never seemed to get in trouble. He never got in trouble. How would you like to have that kid as your neighbor? But think about it here. That's what they're thinking. That's the idea that they have in mind. That's how they know Jesus. But then all of a sudden, the atmosphere, well, it changed dramatically. And what did he say? Well, here they are. Hearing these words, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing, this scripture passage. And surely they're thinking, it's like, well, you know, well, hey, you know, we've heard about him here. He right down the road there in Capernaum, he healed some people there. Maybe he's going to do that very same thing here. That's what they were hoping. Physician, heal thyself. No, that's not what's going to happen here. Not going to happen at all. And he goes on to say, he says, truly, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. Now, about this time, the people are beginning to think ill of him. They don't like what they're hearing. They don't like the direction that Jesus is taking this. And then you toss in the fact here that maybe he's talking about how he's the Messiah, that, well, he's not going to do miracles here. What's up with this Jesus? And then these next comments of Jesus, well, that's going to push them to the edge. And I want you to think about why as I read this to you again. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elisha, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elisha was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. Well, back in the day of Elijah, all right, Elijah, that prophet, well, what did God bring? Well, God brought a drought upon the people. It lasted 3.5 years. So instead of saying Elijah there going to stay with somebody there in Israel, no, he sent him up to Sidon, all right, Gentile territory, to stay with a widow up there. Well, then there was plenty of lepers in the land. And God didn't heal any of those save one, Naaman, the Syrian. So what's going on here as Jesus is speaking these words? Well, Jesus is identifying the people there in Nazareth with the children of Israel of old. They were the unrepentant ones. They were the rebellious ones. They were the ones who were just giving lip service to God. They didn't like that. And the big question of this is why? Why is Jesus sharing this with them? Well, the answer is this. The people in his hometown of Nazareth have rejected Jesus. And their response, well, they rose up and drove him out of town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so that they could throw him down the cliff. Well, their anger went over the edge, all right. They wanted to toss Jesus over the cliff. Because usually what they did is when they throw somebody off the cliff, then they'd sit there and pick up rocks and start stoning them to make sure that they would die. But yet even then, Jesus proved that he was the Messiah. How, you might think? What did he do? He walked right through their midst. They were able to push him up there to get him right to there to the edge of the cliff. But then he turned around and walked away, and they're sitting there trying to grab him, but seemingly can't do that. And he walked right away from them. You see what Jesus did, again, showed them that he was the Messiah. And even though then he went to the cross, and there he died on the cross, yet he freely passed from death to life, thereby showing all indeed who he is, that he is the Messiah, proving that he is the Savior of the world, the one who came to die and earn forgiveness of sins and rise from the grave to give that hope of everlasting life. Well, what about today? What if Jesus came to our town? What if Jesus came here to Hicksville? How would that be? What if Jesus came to worship with us? What if Jesus came to share the word? How awesome would that be? In fact, it is awesome. Jesus does come here. And every time you hear the gospel read that is being shared with you about Jesus, Jesus comes to you. And as we receive his body and blood there in the Lord's Supper, there again, it is the Lord's Supper. Jesus is coming to you personally, thereby assuring you that, yes, indeed, that forgiveness of sins that was earned so long ago is yours personally. And that promise of everlasting life is yours personally. You see, we find here that as Jesus comes to us, he truly is the one who heals us who are spiritually blind, to open our eyes so that we might see that indeed he is our Savior and he is Christ the Lord. You see, you are living in the year of the Lord's favor. And as is your habit, you're here in worship today. And that's a good thing. Because as you came here today, Jesus has come to you. You heard it in his word, and may that word sustain you throughout the week. Until you hear it yet again, or until you open your own Bibles and read the gospel. And as you do, you hear about our Savior, the one who came, who died, who rose, who'll come yet again to take us one day to be with him in heaven. That is our Savior. That is Jesus Christ, whose hometown was Nazareth, whose heaven is his home. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.